It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We had this report last week from Homeland Security and FBI, which was really kind of thin in terms of the data that it included about Russia, but it did identify two computer viruses, sort of phishing schemes to get information. Now, that is not a direct link to Russia, but these are viruses, if you will, that are often used by the Russian intelligence services.
Okay.
My information is that there's a lot more intelligence beyond what was released last week, and the question for the intelligence community is how much of that will be declassified in order to make their case more publicly that there is this link, that it was directed by the Russian government. Now, to answer your first question in sort of a roundabout way, the president has asked for a more extensive report, and our expectation is that a version of that will be declassified sometime before the 20th. So what to watch for there is whether there really is evidence of intent and motivation by the hackers, because that's the kind of intelligence that requires a human source or what's called an electronic intercept, like picking up a phone call. So this is a very high threshold of information to have, number one. And number two, it would be highly unusual for the U.S. government to declassify that kind of information. If you wanted to make the case that there really is that solid link to the Russian government and that it was directed by those around Putin and Putin himself, you would have to have very high quality intelligence.
Yes.
And that's not always the intelligence that belongs to us. It can belong to our foreign partners, so it's not really ours to disclose. And the Russians play a game, and we've seen it in the past, where they may deny being responsible for something, and they do it in an effort to force our hand to release information to satisfy the American people or others, you know, our allies in general, right? But when that happens, you burn the source and you burn the method, and that's really to Russia's advantage. So it's a real balancing act.
Sandy Rios with you, and nice to be back in the chair live. Thanks for being patient over the holidays. I hope you enjoyed the best ofs we played. I enjoyed some of them when I wasn't with my family, but it's amazing to me. That was Catherine Herridge last night on Fox with Tucker Carlson. You didn't hear Tucker very much. A few but it's amazing to me, honestly, how little news there is right now. It's important news, a lot of important things, but it's, you know, the news has been coming like a fire hose. For months, years, I would say, it's just been very difficult to keep up with it. And it's kind of a breath of fresh air, is it not, to have enjoyed the holidays, God willing, with your family, to relax, to feel, you know, like there's a future and a hope, which God has promised anyway, for those, the people that love him, that serve him. But it is, it's a break. But we have a lot to talk about. There is a ton of news and some very significant things happening, not the least of which is this whole business about Russia allegedly hacking our elections. I could talk the whole show about this. And by the way, I need to tell you that former CIA Director James Woolsey will be joining us in just a few minutes. And we're going to get his take on that. And also, we're going to talk a great deal today about the shenanigans of the Obama administration with the nation of Israel. But first of all, let me talk about Russia. Let's just say that I personally don't think that the American people are buying this story of Russia's involvement. And it's kind of an odd thing because allegedly the FBI and the CIA have linked, or Homeland Security and the FBI released a joint report, you know, under the a direction of the Obama administration, alleging that the Russians were, I'm not sure what the verbiage is. In fact, let me read the first part of this report. This report is provided as is for informational purposes only. The Department of Homeland Security does not provide any warranties of any kind regarding any information contained therein. And that's how it starts. So you look at this report, and Zero Hedge actually has a great article on this, and we will put this on our Facebook page because I'd like for you to see it. And it goes into what the report does not say. So it alleges Russian hacking, but the report's only 5.5 pages long in large print. It does not say, it doesn't mention WikiLeaks, not even once. And that's what the pundits, the leftists, keep telling us, that somehow the allegation is that the Russians caused the leaks that caused the election to go Donald Trump's way. Donald Trump is therefore friendly to Vladimir Putin, and it was all a fix, and they rigged our election. That's what they keep telling us. But the problem is the WikiLeaks, of course, came through Julian Assange. And he swears up and down it had nothing to do with the Russians. In fact, he's going to be doing an interview with Sean Hannity. And we pulled a little bit of it. Let's listen.
Can you say to the American people unequivocally that you did not get this information about the DNC, John Podesta's emails? Can you tell the American people 1,000% you did not get it from Russia or
yes.
anybody associated with Russia?
We can say, we have said repeatedly over the last 2 months that our source is not the Russian government and it is not state party.
Yeah, so that's, you know, he said that repeatedly. We talked about that a great deal before Christmas. And others, remember I had my Russian friend, expert David Satter on, and he said, among other things, Julian Assange may be a strange character, but he's not known to be a liar. And the things that he leaks actually turn out to be, they're genuine documents. So he's telling us repeatedly, he said it's an insider. He said this. It's a DNC insider. And let me just take a little sidebar here. This is interesting because this is, you know, who knows? Here's a story. The Clinton Foundation CEO is named Eric Braverman. Remember, the Clinton Foundation was so much in the news, should still be, because it was selling influence for money, making money hand over fist, really selling influence in the American government and our when Mrs. Clinton was Secretary of State. Now, that's my statement. I realize it hadn't been proven in a court of law, but that's the way, that's how I assess what I've read and studied. And so this Eric Braverman, who was the CEO from 2013 till 2015, are you ready for this? Has apparently been missing since October. And this is from Rachel Alexander writing in The Stream. His absence has fueled speculations in the blogosphere, but so far has been ignored by the media. Some speculate, with good reason, that Braverman may have gone into hiding after an email mentioning his name was released by WikiLeaks on October 22nd of this year. Oh, and I'm not going to go on, but it explains where that happens. And then it says, the last evidence of Braverman, oh, wait a second, he abruptly resigned from the Clinton Foundation shortly before this email exchange took place. And then after the email exchange was made public by WikiLeaks, Braverman vanished from the public eye. The last evidence of Braverman's public activity was October the 12th when he posted his last tweet on Twitter. His husband, Neil Brown, in quotes, of course, husband, hasn't tweeted since August. Rachel said she left a voicemail on Braverman's personal phone, sent him an email, no request. He's listed as a lecturer at Yale University. And so he has just disappeared. He's gone. And some have said, Rachel reports, that he may be the source of the leak. But we don't know. But how would we know? Because he has disappeared. So that's really interesting. And on this whole business of Russia, I was reading the Zero Hedge article to you. But if you don't believe that, you think, all right, these are conservative sources that Sandy uses. Yes, I do. But I still want trusted sources. They tend to, you know, to be conservative sources. But could I also read to you from the Rolling Stone? This is the title, Something About This Russia Story Stinks. And, of course, you know that Barack Obama has expelled 35 Russian nationals. But the Rolling Stone says Russia at first pledged darkly to retaliate, then backed off. The Russian press today is even reporting that Vladimir Putin is inviting the children of American diplomats to visit the Christmas tree in the Kremlin. As characteristically loathsome, menacing, sarcastic, a Putin response as you'll find. And then the Rolling Stone goes on to say the report that I mentioned earlier by the Homeland Security and FBI is long on jargon but short on specifics. More than half of it's just a list of suggestions for preventative measures, We don't learn much at all about what led our government to determine that these hacks were directed by the Russian government or that they were undertaken with the aim of influencing the election. And then he goes on to talk about how journalists, how the Obama administration, he just seemed, the Rolling Stone says this seems like propaganda. They go on, and trust me, they are not a friend to conservatives. They say in the last months of the campaign, we've seen an epidemic of factually loose, clearly politically motivated reporting about Russia. Democrat-leaning pundits have been unnervingly quick to use phrases like Russians hacked this election. And I could go on, but I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but you get the point. And actually, we'll put this Zero Hedge article on our Facebook page, and I will, if you will please forgive some of the a little bit of the language in this Rolling Stone article, we'll put this on our Facebook page too, because I want you to see what they have to say. Remember fake news? Remember fake news? We talked about it a lot before Christmas time. Fake news. The Washington Post wrote a story saying Russian hacking the power grid. And it's just this whole story about how they're hacking, and then it turns out to be completely false. Fake news, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why you need American Family Association, American Family Radio, and we are pledged, God willing, to bring you the truth. Coming up next, former CIA Director James Woolsey, do not go away.
When you were a kid, you're playing outside, you skin your knee, you go running inside crying to your mommy. She'd brush off the dirt, kiss your boo-boo, and say, "There, there, honey, it's gonna be all better." And the promise came true, didn't it? In no time, that sore knee was a memory, and you were back outside with your friends. Well, this is Johnny Erickson Tata, agreeing with you that life is not that simple, is it? Nowhere in Scripture does it promise that God will kiss it and make it all better. Because sometimes circumstances do not change. But Romans 5 says that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character produces hope. Friend, your hope is going to be the happy outcome of it all. God may not kiss it and make it all go away, but He will bless it and make you strong, courageous, compassionate, and patient.
Does the Bible teach a flat earth? This is Ken Ham, a missionary with a passion for God's Word and the Gospel. Over the years, we've heard the claim that the Bible teaches a flat earth, but that's simply not true. The prophet Isaiah declared that God sits above the circle of the earth. In the book of Job, we read that God hangs the earth on nothing. Now, sometimes people say poetic passages where the Bible talks about the sun rising or setting show that the Bible describes a flat earth, but this is silly. You see, no one would accuse a TB meteorologist who, while giving a weather report, mentions a sunrise or sunset, then believes the Earth is flat. Observational science confirms the Earth is a sphere. The Bible got this right years before it was scientifically accepted. Science always confirms God's Word.
Visit AnswersRadio.com to learn more about astronomy and the Bible, plus our new life-size ark. You can also view a transcript of this program at AnswersRadio.com.
A good deed. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Mark Meadows knew the man was homeless the minute he walked through the door. Mark owns a Chick-fil-A in Birmingham, Alabama. He could have asked the man to leave, but that's not how they do things at Chick-fil-A. Instead, he invited the unkempt stranger inside and offered him a hot chicken sandwich. It was cold that day, bitterly cold, and Mark noticed the man's hands. They were rough and red, nearly frostbitten. So Mark took off his own gloves and gave them to the stranger. No one quite knows for sure what happened to this young man. His whereabouts are something of a mystery, leading some to wonder just who it was that came by the Chick-fil-A that cold winter day. The good book reminds us not to forget to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some have unknowingly entertained angels, and some might have even served them a hot chicken sandwich. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I have no doubt that our alliance will endure the profound disagreement we have had with the Obama administration and will become even stronger in the future. But now I must express my deep disappointment,
Jeff,
with the speech today of John Kerry, a speech that was almost as unbalanced as the anti-Israel resolution passed at the UN last week. In a speech ostensibly about peace between Israelis and Palestinians, Secretary Kerry paid lip service to the unremitting campaign of terrorism that has been waged by the Palestinians against the Jewish state for nearly a century. What he did was to spend most of his speech blaming Israel for the lack of peace by passionately condemning a policy of enabling Jews to live in their historic homeland and in their eternal capital, Jerusalem. Hundreds of suicide bombings, thousands, tens of thousands of rockets, millions of Israelis in bomb shelters are not throwaway lines in a speech. They are the realities that the people of Israel had to endure because of mistaken policies. Policies that at the time won the thunderous applause of the world.
Sandy Rios back with you. And of course, that's the familiar voice of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. Boy, a lot happened over the Christmas break. We knew, anybody paying attention who had any kind of common sense has known, that from the time Barack Obama entered office, he was not a friend to Israel. I happen to know that his best friend in Chicago was a former operative of the PLO. They hate Israel. And so any kind of positive statements were guarded and false. And so all the gloves came off in these final days of the Obama administration. And as a matter of fact, the president himself, we are hearing, orchestrated some sort of a resolution in the UN Security Council condemning settlement construction in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. And it caused a tremendous problem. John Kerry made a speech, and the irony, this is kind of an aside, but it's interesting. You can see the speech. He sticks out his tongue like it's a strange, strange thing. It's like the mask is coming off and we are as though we needed it too, but maybe for more people, that the people that have been running our government are out of touch with reality. Well, someone who knows a lot about that, reality and unreality, because he served as the CIA director for several years for the United States of America. His name is former CIA Director James Woolsey. Good morning, Mr. Woolsey. How are you?
Good to be with you. Good morning.
Thank you. It's nice to have you this morning. Ambassador Woolsey, Director, you were an ambassador, weren't you?
Yes. Anything's fine, but Jim works too.
Yeah, I remember addressing you that way in the past. When you were with the CIA, you certainly know that there are times in that agency for mistruths and misleading. But have you ever seen an age where the official U.S. government was more of a liar than the Obama administration?
Where the official U.S. government was more of a liar than the Obama administration. Oh, you mean the civil servants, essentially?
Yeah, right. Just that. Well, yes, the people speaking on behalf of our government have been lying to us. It has become, to me, Mr. Woolsey, like almost like Russian propaganda. Remember, I know you do. Remember the days of Soviet propaganda and all the lies. This is what it seems like we're living through in America right now.
Well, I think the way that the Obama administration and Secretary Kerry have handled this situation is just very, very bad. It is completely insensitive to the history of the West Bank and Gaza and the relevant areas. If that veto opportunity was passed, passed as it was by the United States, and instead, by abstaining, we essentially favored this terrible resolution that the Obama administration is supporting, did support. We are effectively saying that Gaza and the West Bank and the Golan Heights, all of these really are Palestinian, and Israel has no essential interest in them, and it should get out. Ignoring the effects of the Six-Day War, ignoring the history of those areas, ignoring the geography of Israel needing to defend itself by holding on to high ground, for example. It is really, really just, I think, appalling.
Dr. Woolsey, do you remember that old movie? I know you and I have chatted before, and I know that you, we've talked about some of the undercover spies in the OSS that were very glamorous and beautiful. There's a lot of intrigue to the spy world, which you were involved in a number of years. But that reminds me of Hollywood. And that reminds me of an old movie with Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer called Gaslighting. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Well, remember that Charles Boyer is her husband, and he tries to make her think she's crazy. And he keeps telling her and he won't let her talk to anybody outside. Like he acts as though he loves her and he's trying to protect her, but all she hears from is him. And he tries to tell her she's losing things, that she's losing her mind. Yes. Something will be red and he'll tell her it's white. And the whole movie's about him making her go crazy until somebody finally brings. And I think that's what's going on, don't you?
I see where you're going. Yes, great analogy.
Yes, well, I think gaslighting is probably what's been happening to the American people. It's this constant barrage of lies. No, that's not really true, because we know that Israel has a right to build on their own land that was given to them back. There was a pact back in 1920 something, and it's still their land to build on. So these are lies constantly fed, and they become like reality.
And not only that. There have been, I would say, responsible compromises offered to the Palestinians. I think the leading one is probably the so-called Clinton parameters, in which the bulk of the West Bank and the Old City and so forth went to Israel, but there were some adjustments made, and Clinton presented them to Ehud Barak in the closing days of his time, of Clinton's time in all. And the Israelis were not especially enthusiastic about them, but they thought they could live with them, and Barak and his party in the Knesset supported it. And Arafat started finding ways to disagree with this provision and that provision, and finally essentially just trashed the whole thing. And so it's both Israel's rights under the law and the historical situation, and it's the Palestinians' refusal to compromise on something that even would pick them up some bit of added territory. Nothing works. Nothing has worked with the Palestinians on the other side.
Well, I think, and I should finish the story, because people have been, this is the first day back for many people jumping back into the news, including myself. And so we need to say that Egypt actually was persuaded to stop this resolution in the UN. So it looks like it's going to be tabled, certainly at least until Donald Trump becomes president. Trump had persuaded Egypt to do that. And so it's not a danger, not an imminent danger right now. But I want to ask you about Donald Trump's response. Director Woolsey, during the campaign when he was running, people were a little concerned, I think, about his, interest, his concern about Israel. He was a little tepid in his remarks. What do you think I know you've been advising him. What do you think this whole business, has he seen Obama really go after Israel, gloves off? What do you think that's done to his own position on Israel?
Well, I think he's been a strong supporter of Israel pretty much all along. I had known him at all before September when I began to advise the campaign, and I've only met with him a couple of times. But I think he's very very sound on, from my point of view, on this this issue, and I think proposals to cut substantially American funding and Israeli funding, of course, of the Palestinian Authority and of the United Nations. A lot of these things are going to come to play. I think Trump is likely to be quite tough on those sorts of issues.
Why, in your own view, I could fill in a lot of blanks here, but why do you think Israel is so important? It's so tiny. Who cares? You know, they're a tiny little strip of land at one point, what, 11 miles wide, something like that. You know, why are they so important to American interests?
Well, I wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal several years ago, an op-ed called We Are All Jews. And what I said in there was that I thought the reason the totalitarians usually would go first after the Jews, whether they're Nazis or communists or whatever, is because of the law. Basically, Judaism introduced the world to the concept of an objective law, a law from God in the beliefs. And that is the worst thing you can possibly do, in a sense, to totalitarians who want to make the decisions all themselves and don't believe anybody or anything should be above them. That's usually the position of kings, and it's essentially always the position of dictators. And so the Jews end up often being the number one enemy. And I think, you know, in a crazy kind of way, it's an honor to symbolize the rule of law for the world. But I think Judaism really, really does, in the same sense that Greece symbolizes, 5th century B.C., Greece symbolizes democracy. And there are very few institutions and countries in the world that stand for something as clearly and as decisively and so, and as important as Israel and Judaism embody the law. And I think that's a lot of what this is all about. People don't like to talk about it very much, but I think that's really a lot of what this is all about.
Wow, that's a great perspective. We only have a couple of minutes left. You know, Donald Trump is inheriting such a mess in the Middle East. I was just watching a video reminding me of all the things that had all the devastation that the Obama administration has caused in the so-called Arab Spring. How in the world, Director Woolsey, is a one man, one president going to unring all of those bells? Hello, sir? Well, I think we lost him. Well, I guess I can answer that. I think one man can't answer all those bills. Unless we get him back, we'll have him answer that question. It is so complex. It is unbelievable. As I was watching the march through all the memories, you know, how our allies in the Middle East, like Mubarak in Egypt, however imperfect, he was really cooperating. For instance, with Israel, they were living in peace. In Libya, Muammar Gaddafi. Barack Obama undertook to take him out, and they took him out, and chaos ensued. Benghazi happened because it was a free-for-all for the jihadists, because that is Gaddafi was. He was at least held some measure of order in that country and treated people with opposing viewpoints with a little bit of respect. We have to take a break. And we're going to do that, and we'll be back in a second. So much more to say. In fact, I want to come back to Israel if I could. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The day begins. Gotta run. Late start. Quick breakfast. Wish I hadn't stayed up so late last night. What about time in devotions? Time in prayer, Bible reading, working, thinking, breathing without the mind of Christ to begin the day is so unwise, but so like us as human beings, prone to wander. We tend to think our way is the way, yet our ways are not His ways. That's why we need to stop and take time at the start of each day seeking God's help, His correction, His leading, as we prepare to live for Him, not for ourselves. Devotions, time with God, praying for God's help, grace, mercy, and direction. Not taking time with the Lord is, to start your day, compromised. Seek first the kingdom of God, dear friend, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates and, of course, our own monies, too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets. Because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA. A very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Information warfare is arguably the most critical battlefield in a 21st century racked with a war of ideas. Unfortunately, the United States is largely unilaterally disarmed in this form of warfare, while our actual or potential enemies have become increasingly capable and aggressive in employing it against us. Fortunately, Bill Gertz, a best-selling author and one of the most accomplished national security reporters of our time, has just raised an alarm about this dangerous asymmetry in a powerful new book, iWar, War and Peace in the Information Age. It's hard to imagine a more timely warning. Russia's alleged cyber hacking and influence operations and President Obama's belated response to them will be among the top agenda items for the incoming Trump administration. Bill Gertz's iWar will be a helpful guide to establishing new, more sensible U.S. information warfare capabilities and policies. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Since Israel's creation in 1948, Arabs have conducted three unprovoked wars of aggression to destroy the Jewish state. But today, Israel faces the greatest threat to its existence in its 63-year history. From Egypt to Turkey, from Gaza to Iran, Israel's enemies are on the rise.
Israel is our enemy. Death to Israel.
And all Muslims will be killed. And the Jews will be hidden behind the stone and the tree. And the stone and the tree will be saying, O Muslim, O Abdullah, this is Jews. إلهي خلفي.
Islamic terrorist forces armed with more than 50,000 rockets now encircle the tiny nation and call openly for its extermination. In these perilous times, Israel needs its ally, the United States, more than ever. But can it count on America's president?
Well, not. No, it can't. Not the one that's going to be serving for another 18 days. Sandy Rios back with you. That's a new video. Well, I don't know how new it is. But it's a really powerful video put out by Memory, I believe, M-E-M-R-I. And we will put that on our Facebook page. It's part of a 7-minute presentation, and I'm going to play a few minutes more of it in just a second. But as we said, during the Christmas break, the Obama administration took all the gloves off and really has just, you know, finally taken the mask off, although they did it very deceptively. Let me just say, does that surprise you? This is what Israel's reporting. Israel knew even before the Egyptian draft resolution that the White House was planning an ambush and coordinating it with the Palestinians. Israeli diplomats believe they were misled by the U.S. during a meeting last week between high-ranking Israeli and Obama administration officials in which the U.S. side offered reassurances about its efforts to support Israel, but declined to explicitly state that the U.S. would veto such a resolution if it came up. The Israelis told their counterparts that, quote, friends don't take friends to the Security Council, end quote. So they completely misled and sort of tried to trick Israel into believing they were supporting them, and they got into the UN Security Council. Egypt presents this resolution, and the United States, I guess Susan Powers, she'd have to be the one, refused to veto it. So they were fine, happy to stop any kind of building on the West Bank in East Jerusalem. And I want to talk about that just a little bit. Of course, then John Kerry weighs in, Mr. Oh, you know, he's such a statesman. Man, this has been a maddening time for those of us that really do know what the truth is, because lies have become the order of the day. This is John Kerry and his response. Oh, Mr. Oh, he only wants peace in Israel. Really? Really? No, what he wants is for Israel to bow the knee to the Arab world. But let's listen. Let's let Mr. Kerry say it for himself.
Throughout his administration, President Obama has been deeply committed to Israel and its security. And that commitment has guided his pursuit of peace in the Middle East. The two-state solution is the only way to achieve a just and lasting peace between Israelis and Palestinians. It is the only way to ensure Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state, living in peace and security with its neighbors. Israel's permanent representative to the United Nations, who does not support a two-state solution, said after the vote last week, quote, "It was to be expected that Israel's greatest ally would act in accordance with the values that we share and veto this resolution. I am compelled to respond today that the United States did in fact vote in accordance with our values, just as previous U.S. administrations have done at the Security Council before us. They fail to recognize that this friend, the United States of America, that has done more to support Israel than any other country, this friend that has blocked countless efforts to delegitimize Israel, cannot be true to our own values or even the stated democratic values of Israel. And we cannot properly defend and protect Israel if we allow a viable two-state solution to be destroyed before our own eyes. Despite our best efforts over the years, the two-state solution is now in serious jeopardy. The truth is that trends on the ground, violence, terrorism, incitement, settlement expansion, and the seemingly endless occupation, they are combining to destroy hopes for peace on both sides and increasingly cementing an irreversible one-state reality that most people do not actually want. If the choice is one state, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. And it won't ever really be at peace.
Thank you, Mr. Kerry. Mr. Marxist, leftist, traitor to this nation since he was in his 20s. Good riddance to you. But of course, you're going to be hearing me say fake news, fake news, fake news, and gaslighting. I'm going to talk about that a lot. In fact, we're going to do a whole show on gaslighting, because that Charles Boyer character was meticulous in how he manipulated his wife, made her think she was going crazy because he would tell her things that were absolutely not true. And since he was the only voice she could hear, no one else was around, she began to doubt her own sanity. And that's what's happening. You know, it's like, oh, the economy is great. Oh, the economy is the best it's ever been. All of these jobs are being created. This is fabulous. It's just the Obama administration is accomplishing so much. These are lies. We have witnessed with our own eyes the devastation of our country, people out of work, people living in poverty in ways they've never experienced in their own lifetimes. The Obamacare is great. It's wonderful. More people are covered than ever. They have insurance and they're getting medical care, when we know the reality is that people's backs are being broken by the premiums and the co-pays and the out-of-pocket expenses. They're not really covered at all. They can't go to just any doctor. They can't sometimes find any doctor that will take their insurance. This is a disaster. People are dying. They're hurting. But you're being told by the news, by Hollywood, this is great. This is, we're taking care of everyone. When in truth is, we're taking care of no one. So no one gets good care. And that's the solution for the leftists, communists, socialists, People's Party folk who want everybody to suffer except for them. Except for them. There's a special place at the top of the tower for them, a special apartment, special medical care. They don't expect to live like you expect to live. Thank God they were defeated. Thank God they were defeated. And I want to just give you just a few. This is a great article by Daniel Horowitz on the background on Israel. And this is the title of the article: Israel's Right to Build Homes is Settled Under an International Law. And Daniel writes this: here we go again with the UN peddling the biggest geopolitical hoax of all time. Can we say fake news, gaslighting? That Israel's control over Judea and Samaria is illegal, that it belongs to a distinct Arab people called Palestinians, and that the source of Islamist mayhem across the globe is a smattering of Jewish homes being built in their ancestral land. Land which, by the way, is virtually invisible on a map compared to the massive land controlled by Islam. The UN Security passed a resolution before Christmas. We already talked about that. So the resolution. Daniel has a little bit more intel on this. He says that it looks like Obama was the ringleader behind this resolution. Looks like Vice President Joe Biden convinced Ukraine to support the resolution, barring this building of homes settlement in the East Bank. And so we know who's doing this. So Daniel goes back in history, says the only binding resolution of international law, a resolution which has never been countermanded to this day, is the July 1922 Mandate for Palestine. Adopted by the League of Nations, that resolution recognized the historical connection of the Jewish people with Palestine and to the grounds for reconstituting their national home in that country. It called for the creation of a Jewish national homeland anywhere west of the Jordan River. And then Daniel goes on to say that once the League of Nations was disbanded, the United Nations was formed, the United Nations folded in existing international instruments, so they accepted the agreement, this particular agreement. It has never been changed. It's Article 80 UN Charter. And he said this provision wasn't inserted by accident. It was known as the Jewish People's Clause. It was adopted in 1945. The mandate for Palestine adopted by the League of Nations was the last legally binding document delineating regional borders. In Article 5 of the mandate, it explicitly states, "The mandatory shall be responsible for seeing that no Palestine territory shall be ceded or leased to or in any way placed under the control of the government of any foreign power." And then one last thing, Daniel goes on to explain there is no such thing as pre-67 borders. They're always talking about that. Obama started that when he came into the presidency. There were merely 1949 armistice lines between Israel and neighboring countries after they launched an illegal war of extermination. It has nothing to do with the notion of a unique Arab-Palestinian entity west of the Jordan River. There was never any internationally recognized legal sovereign occupying Judea, and Samaria from the time the British Empire fell until 1967. Jordan's occupation of the area west of the Jordan River was never recognized. To the extent that there is an Arab-Palestinian state, it is the modern state of Jordan, which already sucked up 77% of the original mandate of Palestine allocated for Jewish state under the first plan of the Balfour Declaration. I could go on and on, but I won't. We will put this article also on our Facebook page because I'd like for you to, this is something you should read. Honestly, each and every one of you should understand because you've been fed fake news now for a long time. This is not a new phenomenon. It's just getting worse. And so the whole notion that there should be two states, that Palestine was supposed to be for the Arabs, that was not the intention. Palestine was supposed to be the homeland for the Jews. And so we could go on and on, but I'm going to end this particular part of our discussion with the next part of this video that we played earlier. It talks now about how Obama has behaved toward Israel. It's kind of a tracking. It was amazing to me to listen to it. I want you to hear it too.
From Israel's beginning, the United States has been the indispensable ally of the single democracy among the repressive dictatorships of the Middle East. American presidents through the decades have reaffirmed that special relationship until the election of Barack Obama. From his first day in office, Obama has distinguished himself by his open hostility towards America's staunchest ally. He has told Jews they can't build homes in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel and the spiritual center of Judaism for thousands of years.
The United States does not accept the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements. It is time for these settlements to stop.
He forced the Jewish state to negotiate with the Palestinian terror organization Hamas in the so-called peace process. Hamas has sworn to obliterate Israel.
Hamas exists to destroy Israel. Their mission is to kill Israelis, to kill Jews.
While Israel faces an enemy sworn to destroy it, Obama has demanded that Israel surrender its right to negotiate defensible borders. He said that its borders must revert to the lines that existed before the second Arab aggression.
The borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps.
That leaves Israel an 8-mile strip. You go ahead and try to defend that. You can't. If everyone around you is peaceful, you're good. If everyone is screaming, kill the Jews, you're dead.
Allah, ya Allah, ihsil ya'ud, ihsil yahuda adada, waqtulhum badada, wa la tughadir minhum ahada.
While appeasing Israel's enemies, Obama has dealt harshly with Israel's prime minister since their first meeting in May 2009. Obama treated Benjamin Netanyahu to a series of humiliating snubs, including presenting him with a list of demands and then leaving him to mull them over while he went to dinner with his family.
So that's just part of that video. You can see how powerful it is. Again, it's published, I believe, by Memory. M-E-M-R-Y-I, and we'll put that on our Facebook page because I think you would want to watch that and share it with others. So here we are. And now Donald Trump is going to be president in just a few days. And I think, I could talk a lot about the controversies, but I think that most people who have reasonable minds understand that the American people have dodged a bullet. Certainly the people of Israel have dodged a bigger bullet. But for now, I believe God has answered prayer. That doesn't mean Donald Trump's a perfect president. Doesn't mean he's a perfect man. Nothing like that. But for whatever reason, God has allowed him to be the president and in the process has kind of answered the prayer of his people. We have real needs. We need jobs. We need a future for our children. We need to be able to restore moral order in this country. We need to be able to restore just truth. We need to be able to restore real justice, not fake justice, real justice. And so that's what we're working toward. Barack Obama's been very busy. I'm just going to mention a few things. I have a lot I want to tell you in this very few minutes I have left. While we were vacationing or having Christmas time, he was using his executive authority to impose permanent bans on offshore drilling off the Arctic and Atlantic coast, doing everything he can to put a cog in the works for President-elect Donald Trump. He also today, there will be 5 minutes about between when the 114th Congress gavels out of session and the 115th Congress gavels in. And some are wondering if President Obama will use that 5 minutes to get Merrick Garland onto the Supreme Court in what's called an intersession recess. Some are saying, oh, no, he wouldn't do that. I think he would. And so we'll see. That's going to happen at noon today. So be watching. We also know that he has been bringing in Muslim refugees as fast as he possibly can. He's stopped the vetting. Who could imagine someone else so out of control? And who could imagine a Senate and House leadership with so little grit, so little resolve, so little love of their country that they have done nothing, 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 and they continue to do nothing but talk? That's not a good thing. He shouldn't be doing that. That's all they do is talk, talk, talk. And yet they are still in power. And that's probably my biggest concern as we approach this new year. What in the world will those weak men, weak is the nicest thing I can think of to say about them, who serve us in leadership in Congress, what will they do? Will they help a president-elect Donald Trump, or will they undermine him at every turn? I kind of think it'll be number two. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Let's just say that that's not the only thing. Obama has dropped 502 refugees on Nebraska in just these final weeks. Nebraska is small, sparsely populated, and per capita they have resettled more refugees than any other state in the country during the first 3 months. Of course, they are a red state, and North Dakota, Kentucky, Arizona have had their share of refugee dumps. Idaho also, but Delaware. Joe Biden's home state, no one receives. You can see what's going on. It's this big, it's gaslighting, it's lying, it's fake news, it's manipulation, it's lies, lies, lies. I'm sick of it. And by the way, Valerie Jarrett congratulated President Obama in a tweet on, she says, aren't you proud of us? POTUS has been scandal-free. So the president has been scandal-free, and aren't you proud of him? He has nearly destroyed this country and the Arab world, certainly for people who love freedom, but he's scandal-free, so we should be proud of them. I want to tell you one other story before I run out of time here, because this is a big one. I could spend the whole show on this. A Missouri congressman has approved a painting that depicts cops as pigs to hang in the U.S. Capitol building. It's hanging in the tunnel between Capitol and Longworth House office building. If you've ever been to the Capitol, I know most of you have. You know how beautiful it is with all the patriotic, the founding fathers and statues and beautiful portraits. But now hanging alongside that is a picture of the streets of Ferguson with the police picture depicted as pigs and with, of course, emblazoned in it, you know, the falsities that came out of Ferguson. And this is from a congressman from Missouri, whose name is, I got to get his name for you. The artist is David Pulfus. The congressman is Lacey Clay, and he's quite proud of it. He said the painting portrays a colorful landscape of symbolic characters representing social injustice. Yeah, you know what Paul Ryan, who's got such courage, should do? Walk down that aisle and rip that painting off the wall. You think he will? You know what? He probably will say it shouldn't. It just shouldn't be there. That's not nice. Think of the Capitol Police. Think of the policemen who've been killed over this Christmas holiday, who've been attacked, and think of those that are going to come under attack when the inauguration comes around. It's time for respect for law and order to be restored in this country, and so we're going to do our part to see that that happens. All right, it is good to be back in spite of the news, and we're grateful, aren't we? We're grateful for the good things we've been hearing and seeing. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.